Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network presents The Contra Dawn Show with your host, Dawn Appleberg.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is the 14th. Tomorrow's shout out to my husband. It's his birthday, and my daughter gets off restriction. So, lots of good things happening at the Appleberg House. We are going to be talking today. The topic I chose is fairly tough, and it's one that's challenging. However, it needs to be addressed. And so we're going to discuss it, and then after that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up with the healthcare and where we stand today as far as the votes and everything else. But basically, I have been doing some research on I can't even call it a phenomenon. I'm going to call it a dark underbelly of the U.S., and it's a growing trend at this point that we just kind of pretend doesn't exist unless it's something that you actually physically have seen yourself or you've read in passing, and then we kind of hurry over it. Basically, what we're talking about is legalized pedophilia. We now have 11 states that do not have a minimum age requirement written into laws mandating how young or old a minor can be for a parent to go ahead and authorize them to get married to an actual adult. One of the reasons that this has occurred is because a lot of the immigrants coming from other countries that are part, you know, the legal immigrants coming from other countries that are part of our culture, many of those cultures do not have minimum ages. For instance, Vietnamese and Laotian, as young as 10 or 11, as soon as a girl has her mensa, then she is authorized to go ahead and be part of a kidnapping game, is what it's called. And they basically throw ball back and forth between adult men and these children, and then when mom and dad aren't looking, he's going to snatch her, he's running, taking her to a hotel, and after staying with her for 3 days, they allow them to get married. It's a tradition that they've carried from their country to here. And our liberals have determined that they don't want to upset that culture, so they have authorized the bills to be written in such a way that there is no minor age mandate. As recently as 2 days ago, Christie in New Jersey declined to sign a minimum age bill that was brought up by concerned citizens saying that there was no verbiage on this. And because of this, they were actually seeing cases of 11, 12, 14-year-old children coming up legally pregnant because they're married to adults based upon their culture or based upon their societal expectations. Now, I'm not saying it's just immigrants. We have a whole subculture back in the eastern southern area. And I know a lot of people, they laugh about, you know, the rednecks and everything else. This is very serious. We have a culture back in the Appalachian area where children as young as 9 or 10, once more, as soon as she has her mensa, are approved and authorized, considered women, and they are authorized to go ahead and marry. This is here in the United States, people. We're not talking some third world country. We're not talking some developing country. We're talking here in the United States of America, where you have to be 21 to drink. You have to be 18 to vote. You have to be 16 to get a learner's permit to drive. But yet we actually have done very little to protect our own children from legal pedophile situations. Now, I started doing some serious digging into this to find out exactly how big of an issue it was because of the California law that just passed, allowing 10-year-olds to marry. And I found out some very disturbing information. It turns out that we have registered an average of 5,000 children between the ages of 13 and 16 that are married between the between 2004 and 2014. In New York, almost 4,000 children were married between 2000 and 2010. These are the registered individuals who actually reported the fact that they were getting married. These are not common law. And yeah, we're going to get into common law here, let me tell you. These are reported cases. Now, you're going to have some individuals out there who, and I'm going to have to pick on the alt-left a little bit here, who are going to say, well, that's only 4,000 or 5,000 cases. It's not like, you know, we have millions of people in the United States. That's like 0.0001%. The fact of the matter that we're even condoning this behavior, the fact we're allowing it to happen for even one child is something that we need to address as a nation, and we literally need to just quash. Why is this
sick.
Such a serious – it is sick. But why is this such a serious issue? Do you know what Teen Vogue just came out with? Have you heard the story?
No.
June, Teen Vogue came out with an article that has pictures, it has diagrams, and it has explanations. Now realize, before I tell you what this is, Teen Vogue target audience is between 11 and 17 years old. June's edition came out with how to safely perform and have performed on you anal intercourse. In the article, I actually had to stomach it and read it, but in the article, it also gives suggestions on how to ensure that your parents don't have to know in case you want to hide the fact you're gay or you want to hide the fact that you're having sex. The reason why they felt that it was appropriate to go ahead and put something of this nature in a teen magazine was because we have literally gone from a nation where we were very adamant about what was morally correct and incorrect for children to now forcing our children to receive sex education younger and younger and younger, to forcing even those who are uncomfortable with it, forcing them to experience vicariously through television ads and everything else a younger and younger sexual orientation. And now we've reached a point now where they can actually come out and very calmly talk about the fact that, yeah, I married my 12-year-old daughter off to, you know, her husband who's 32 years old. It's legal. That's how far we've gone. We need to address it, and we need to stop it. And the fact of the matter is, I started looking. There are no groups out there saying this is not okay. There are individuals, but there is no concerted effort that says this must stop, which shocked me. Considering we have a caller, tell you what, why don't you give me your thoughts on why you think this has become acceptable to this point?
I don't find it acceptable at all.
Oh, I know you and I don't individually, but why do you think as a society people are so calm about
this?
Well,
I mean, I have noticed that just in the past 10 years that what we normally would think would be morally wrong has been twisted around and put as right, whether we think it's wrong or right. I mean, of course, naturally we think it's wrong, but we see it and people turn their head to it and it's like no big deal. And I don't understand why, but they do.
I think what we've seen is as a nation, we have been racing towards acceptance and tolerance so blindly for everything that we have fallen into this huge, huge loophole, if you will, that now whether we accept it or not, whether we think it's appropriate or not, it is now societally accepted, and there's not a lot that we can do about it. Can we change the laws? Why, sure. We can go ahead and petition. We can go ahead and get politicians to do what's necessary if we actually get enough pressure on them.
To me, it seems like they want you to make your stand because they know you're not going to make any good in the end. And I know that sounds weird, but everything is getting thrown where they really don't care. I mean, you just see some of the laws that have passed in the past couple of years, and it makes you wonder how anybody could pass a law like that to start with, and these people get voted in. It's like...
Repeatedly.
America knows what these people are. They know what these people are before they vote them in, and they still vote them in, and they say they're not for it, but they must be, or they wouldn't vote them in. You know?
Yeah, and they're being voted in repeatedly. It's not just once or twice. It's back to back to back with the same person.
Back to back, yes.
Now, one of the reasons that was speculated on a couple of pages I was looking at is, I think and I have to agree with this one, I think. I think one of the reasons why we're seeing more of a push of this, what we do, and I've seen this happen, when something is going to be objectionable or possibly against the societal norm of our country, whether it's alt-right, alt-left, it doesn't matter. Whenever it's a societal norm that is going to be ejected, it's brought out, and it kind of like, you know, testing the water, so to speak. It's brought out, outcry, brought out, outcry, brought out, not so much of an outcry, let's bring it out some more, not so much until it finally becomes passe or acceptable. For instance, if you would have told me 20 years ago that I would not be able to take my children downtown San Francisco on particular days because there would be naked people in the street dancing and partying and pretending to have sex acts and this type of thing, or, you know, S&M bondage and this type of thing in the public streets, I would have laughed at you. I really would have. But today, not just in San Francisco, but in many of the cities across the nation, globally actually, they have their Gay Pride Day. Now, I want to quantify something here. The LGBT community as a whole do not necessarily sanction these actions. Matter of fact, many of them are really embarrassed by it because these are their fringe element that's out there making the biggest noise. Much like, you know, with the Christian community, Westboro Baptist Church. Christian community does not condone the Westboro Baptist Church, but at the same time, they still get to go underneath that mantle because of what they're called. So I don't want anybody to think I'm gay bashing. I'm not. What I am doing is these nut jobs are allowed to go ahead and literally march down the street naked as a jaybird, playing with themselves and everything else in front of your basic public because it's been pushed and pushed and pushed into a pact where we have to accept it. There's nothing we can really do about it.
And I don't think there's nothing legally you can do about it anyway to start with because they've passed so much junk that it's too late to go back.
Now, with the child bride, remember I brought up the immigrant situation. This has been an ongoing issue. My mom was a missionary for her church down in California working with Laotians, and that's how I know about their game, their ball game. And there were times that they would have to go and rescue these children because the culture was like, wait, I don't understand why this is wrong. And some of these individuals had converted to Christianity and were no longer part of that culture, and they wanted their children to remain out of it. So, but we have a growing number now of immigrants and refugees in our country from a particular culture which child brides are acceptable. And yes, I am going to pick on the Muslim community here. I am going to pick on the Muslim community. I think one of the reasons we're seeing this push, and it's coming out publicly, and you're seeing more and more people talk about it. Remember what I said? They've come out, outcry, come out, outcry, come out, not so much of an outcry. They've already done the poke, and now we don't have as much of an outcry because it's part of their culture. We now have rapists who, because they were Muslim, are being released because it's their culture. They didn't understand, poor boy. And now we're having an increase in child brides and an acceptance of that. And I think one of the reasons we're seeing that heavy push is because the assimilation that we're being forced to do at this point with the Islamic community. It's dangerous. I don't care how tolerant you are. I don't care how pro-refugee you are. This is a dangerous trend. it is something that is going to come out and bite us.
Well, I think they're pushing all this stuff over because it's going to be just a very short period of time, probably for the next year to 2 years. You'll start seeing Sharia law pop up in a lot of states that you would have never seen it yet.
We're already seeing it in Michigan.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's going to be more global as far as people don't realize that it's actually coming and it's already here.
Yeah. Well, you have over the last 5 years I've been watching Europe, and now you have Sharia bound entry areas where you cannot, as a woman, walk the streets unless you are with your relative or your husband. You are not allowed to walk the streets in these areas. These are European towns. But because they are so saturated in the Muslim community, you are not allowed to walk the streets. You have areas where they are terrified for their, especially their girls, children, where they are terrified to allow them to walk to and from school or to be alone at any given time because there's a very real possibility that they just aren't coming home. And we're going to see it here. Now, this is not an anti.
And the thing about it is, it's going to hit faster than people think it's going to come.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this isn't going to be a gradual. No, you're right. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to see signs all over the place saying, don't walk your dog anymore. It's against Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happens very quickly. History has taught us they move in and it happens very quickly. There is no assimilation. You will assimilate
mm-hmm.
or you will pay. Now, this is not a rant against Muslims, and I'll tell you why. I've said this a couple of my shows. I had an epiphany about a year ago with when the King of Jordan went in and attacked ISIS. And the reason I had this epiphany is because I had a friend of mine who pointed out that King of Jordan, he's Muslim. His wife is Muslim. They don't condone the behavior that we have been told, you know, not just been told, but we know is part of the culture. So I'm not going to say all Muslim, but I will tell you, I am going to blame the Muslim community for not enacting their own policing of radicals, for not getting involved with their own policing of these situations. When you move into America and you know that minors are not supposed to be in our culture, you know minors are supposed to be children and not considered, you know, sexual objects, then you should be policing your own to make sure that minors don't become child brides or don't become assault victims or, you know, don't become the Afghanistan, there's a name for it, I have to look it up, but the boys who are used in Afghanistan for sexual pleasure. They need to, you know, police their own as well. But when you don't, they condone it. Does that make sense?
Nope.
So, basically, we're having an increase now. On the cusp of this very daunting and for me as a mother, it's a gut wrencher. But on the cusp of this, we now have a push in our professional psychological circles to condone pedophiles. We are now having a push in the Western culture to condone them as normal, and that the sexualization of children should be considered appropriate. There are multiple peer-reviewed papers that I'm seeing pop up as I through my college stuff that are written by individuals who have done research, and they are claiming that we should accept and acknowledge and even embrace individuals who are pedophile because it makes for a healthier society. Now, this is a very harsh subject, I understand, especially for those who are maybe a little bit more naive about how bad it has really gotten or how dangerous it really has become. But it's something
that
needs to
be discussed. Well, you know, they try to sugarcoat everything and make it go as no big deal when, in fact, it's a very big deal and it's got to be stopped.
Correct. If we do not stand up, if we do not stand up, and if we do not make a stand, and if we do not now to terminate this dangerous trend, we as a society, down the road and not that far, will have to accept, allow, even condone our very own children to be used in this manner, because it will be legal and there will not be a thing you can say about it. There will not be a thing that you can legally do if you find out that your child, and I am continuously using the word child because this is not a little adult, this is not a mature individual, this is a child. But you will not be able to do anything if you find out your child is having sexual relations with an adult 20, 30 years older, whether they were willing or not, because once more, part of that fantasy for pedophiles is the fact that they are actually doing them a favor, even if it's against the child's wishes. And as parents, you will have literally locked yourselves in to a contract with the state that says you have lost all rights. All you do is you give birth, and at that point, they become the state. So this is something that we need to address, and it needs to be taken care of, and we need to make sure it's curbed. And I don't mean just let's put a pin in it. I mean we need to start now, getting the petitions out, getting the statements out, getting to our representatives and telling them, mandatory, if you have to be 21 to drink and you have to be 18 to vote, then by God, you should be 18 before you can get married. And
well, my thing is, if you have to register for the draft and can go to war at 18 years old, that should be the same way with the marriage.
Yes. Now I understand emancipated students are a little different, but even with emancipated kids, you got a brilliant, wicked, brilliant 15-year-old who is emancipated from their parents. They're considered technically an adult. They're still not old enough to be in a marriage contract with someone. I'm sorry, they're not. And I know I'm probably going to get flack. You all know what my Facebook page is. Go ahead and send it to me. I'm a big girl. But the thing is that I don't care if you think that you're mature at 16 or your mom thinks you're mature at 16 or, you know, you've raised all your brothers and sisters so you can handle being a parent. The fact of the matter is that you should not be in a legally binding contract with an adult before you're 18. And if you think about it, isn't that the way it is when it comes to the civil court? You cannot sell a car to a 17-year-old. You have to sell it to their parents. Why? Because you cannot get into a legal contract with anybody under the age of 18. It is not binding. So if I sell a car to Johnny and take his $2,000 and mom doesn't like it, I have to give the $2,000 back to mom. Marriage is one of those few things that, which is so overcompensating of your life. Why is marriage not treated the same way? So that is my rant on the 20 minutes. I'm glad I didn't take longer than that because it really is a disturbing topic. If you want to get involved, if you want to know what you can do, please whisper me, IM me, send me messages, smoke signals, I don't care. I can go ahead and get you the activist kit, basically, which is good for any particular topic that you think is important.
Well, my thing is, how do you stop something like that when, for the most part, it's already legal law?
Well, one of the ways you can stop it is we go ahead and self-monitor. We can go ahead. Good example, here in Washington State, we have a law in the books called 594. Hate this thing, can't stand it. It is so controlled. It's a gun control law that is ridiculous. By the very letter of this law, I can't own a nail gun without going to somebody with an FFL, registering it with them, having a background check, and having them go ahead and sell it back to me simply because it is a projectile armament.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. If we're hunting, and I need to cross over a fence and I hand my son my rifle to follow the fence, and then I take both his rifle and my rifle for him to follow the fence, technically, in the law, because change firearms without an FFL handler. This is how restrictive this ridiculous law is. It is on the books. However, even though the lawmakers put themselves on the back for this, the only oath that's ever been made under 594 was not done by state. It was done by federal, and it was a targeted patriot that they had wanted to pick up for other reasons. No one is abiding by the law. No one cares about the law. Seriously, prosecutors, DA, point blank said they will not prosecute this law. By that same token, if we happen to have a situation where we have something that is immoral, for instance, child brides, and you know it's in your area, you need to bring awareness to your community, to the individuals in question, and let them know it won't be tolerated. It can be done. It may not be legal, but it's not illegal.
Well, I was fixing to say, you would have to do it. It wouldn't be legal, but in that scenario, I wouldn't much give a crap anyway, so.
You know, basically, so let's say you got somebody, in order for them to get married, you've got to have a justice of the peace or someone else. Go ahead and sign that paperwork, right? Make sure that your constituents don't do it. Make sure your ministers are on board. Make sure those who are legal to go ahead and marry individuals realize if they choose to go ahead and condone child brides, that they will not be welcome in the community. Basically, it's kind of like dealing with drug dealers and dealing with gangs. You know, we can't really do much about them legally, but you can make it so uncomfortable that they no longer exist in your area. They leave. If we have enough concerted effort, you'll get to the point where the pressure is on high enough that you will not have them allowing the situation, except for in those areas, those fringe areas. Sorry, California. You guys are a fringe element at this point. You're just wackadoodles. I know you got a lot of conservatives out there for you. I know you got a lot of people who don't like it down there, but you guys have gone unhinged. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Way so, unhinged.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, if you choose to take a stand and you just make sure enough pressure is put on, those individuals who condone this will eventually leave. They will eventually move, and then you are safe. And that's the best way to handle this type of situation. Eventually, what will happen is there is enough pressure because it is not allowed. You will have lawmakers who will go ahead and do the peacekeeping, if you will, to go ahead and remain in office, that they'll write the laws up at that point because they want to get into your good graces. It's a moot point. You've already, you know, enacted your own. But at least you can get it on the books. So that's one way of handling it. There's other ways to handle it. The best way to handle a situation like this is just make sure that it's public, it's open, and everybody knows it will not be condoned. If you're a pedophile?
Well, and here's the thing. A lot of people don't really watch their kids and supervise what they do to start with. And they need to take control by watching their kids again.
When my son was 10 years old, to this day, my kids do not have their own accounts that are not, you know, they have to be connected to mine. I log in, I can see anything that's been done or anything that is going on. There's just no way to hide it. However, when my son was 10 years old, he had a friend of his, girlfriend of his online that he met through Roblox. It's a game. And you see them every once in a while online, didn't think anything of it. They're 10, virtual. There's no talk or anything else. It was cool. Until it wasn't. And that's when I found the text messages in his phone. He was texting with this, and she was doing death fantasies, which were a little bit more mature than a 10-year-old should be. So I decided to do research. Now, mind you, I'm one of those parents that, you know, I'm not a helicopter parent by any means, but I know where my kids are, what they're doing, how they're doing it. You know, we're by no means a casual family here. And many, many people who listen to my shows hear it, but, or however. finally found out who this 10-year-old girl was, brought him in and sat him in front of my computer and showed him her Facebook page. It was a 40-something woman in Australia bragging on her Facebook page about how she was getting over on parents globally. So, yes, I did turn her into the authorities. I did give them the information, sent them all the text messages. He lost everything for a year, the whole works. But the reason I relay this is because it goes to show, no matter how careful you watch your kids, do not think for 1 minute that your child cannot get in trouble.
Oh, no, because they'll look for ways to do that.
They will find, if they want to bad enough, they will find a way.
They find it.
Oh, yeah. They do.
But that's where us as parents have got to realize that and know they're going to get in trouble. But you
that's
still have to stay
why.
On them and correct them from, and you still got to correct them from right to wrong. You know?
Correct. And I think that's one of the reasons, one of my parenting skills that I have learned, the three that I have, is when I find a little thing that they're doing that I know they're not supposed to be doing, I let it go. And the reason being is because that little thing, it's, you know, for instance, my kids have picked up saying help. Now, they're not supposed to swear. I know they're not supposed to use foul language. They're 10, 11, and 13. I've heard them say crap and help. I haven't corrected it. And the reason I haven't corrected it is because I learned a lesson a while back. If I correct them on the tiniest little things that are not as damaging, then they're going to turn to the darker things and the more extravagant things because I'm putting too much pressure on them. My kids don't use hardcore, you know, phrases like the F-bombs or anything else. My kids don't, you know, and I know this for a fact because I have their friends who tell me as well, and their parents who love the fact that when they come over, they have no issue. But I've allowed the little things, and that way they don't escalate into the bigger things with rebellion. Does that make sense?
A little bit, yeah.
See, with the growing concern of child brides, remember when I was talking and I said there's 5,000 registered cases? The brutal fact of the matter is that there are close to 15,000 cases suspected annually, every year, in the United States that are not registered.
Yeah, the thing about it, there shouldn't even be one.
There shouldn't be. You are correct. But these are unregistered cases. These are cases where they know. The parents are actually advocating it. And they know. But they choose not to let authorities know because they don't want to have issues with CPS or this type of thing. The parents are the ones that are
mindless people.
They honestly think they're doing right. There was a case I was reading recently about a 27-year-old who went to jail for statutory rape. And the mother of the 16-year-old child was actually the one paying for all his lawyer fees to get him out because she didn't think that they had done anything wrong. She was advocating, condoning, and allowing him to stay in her home with her 16-year-old child. This is not a stranger-on-stranger situation, per se. This is actually condoned by the culture. And when I say culture, I'm not talking America's culture, people. I'm talking about the culture of the family, the culture of that particular entity or group that's authorizing and condoning. So that's one of the reasons why I'm saying as a society, we as a whole need to put a kibosh on this and make it so that it is definitely, you know, it's as
What happened if a person was 18 or 19 and they was dating a 17-year-old, they got in trouble for statutory rape?
Well, and see, that's the thing. Those cases I have a hard time with. The only reason is because, you know, Johnny and Linda have been dating. Johnny is 16, Linda's 15. They're high school sweethearts. As they get older, she is 17, he turns 18, and all of a sudden, bam, he goes to jail. There's something wrong with that.
Well,
I have
an agreement with you on that too. But what I'm saying is, though, they put those people in jail for that when they're 6 months apart in age, but yet they're going to make it legal for a 33-year-old to marry an 11-year-old. Where did they just get their hat at? You know, I mean.
And I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. That right there, that just because a piece of paper has been drawn up as a contract, once more, remember, a minor contract cannot be, but this is the one contract arise for a minor to go ahead and enter into in order for them to be legally binding. And I just, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it on an emotional level. Logical level, I understand it. I don't condone, but I understand where the mentality is. And pretty much it's like studying a serial killer or a serial rapist, whatever. You can understand the mentality. You just don't have to like it. But I understand the mentality behind this. And unfortunately, it's one that we're seeing more and more. And that is, we must tolerate, we must tolerate, we must tolerate.
Yeah, but you know, they passed that, we must tolerate, even if you get an active shooter in your school, you must tolerate and not fight.
Correct.
And they want everybody to be passive and not argue over anything and just have a pasty gray color in your face and not do nothing when something gives up that's wrong. And, you know, we're supposed to stand up when something is wrong.
Exactly. And here's the irony behind all this. If you are having a meltdown because someone assumed your gender and you become violent, that's okay. If you are physically destroying somebody else's property because you find it offensive, it's condoned. However, if you are defending a victim from a bully because said bully is, you know, bullying them because of their personal views, then you are the intolerant one and you are condemned. So we have become so backwards on this, it's not even funny. When we start seeing things that literally we know in our gut are unethical, immoral, and unconscionable, and we are expected to tolerate it, we're in trouble, people.
Well, you know, I can look back when I was in my 20s and where I'm at now, 20-some years later, and laws and life as we know it has done already a 180 flip, and, you know, we haven't seen the whole entire flip yet.
No, we haven't. And the thing is, this is what the sobering thought is that people need to understand. What we are talking about and discussing today is what is public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
If this is considered condoned public knowledge, what is actually going on underneath the surface that is not yet released or exposed because of the resistance that we may get? We've been hearing a lot about child sex rings. We've been hearing about human trafficking increasing. We've been hearing about the nation sweeping arrests that Trump and his entities are doing against pedophiles. And we've been also hearing more and more. You probably remember back in the 70s when they had that first big explosion about the sex rings in Hollywood and across the nation. And then it died down and went away. Didn't hear anything yet. Now we're hearing it again. If we are actually seeing in mainstream conversations about legalizing pedophiles, legalizing marriage to minors, what are we not seeing and what is actually occurring under the surface that they don't think that we're ready to understand or embrace? That's the part that scares me.
Well, what scares me, they don't care if we want to embrace it or not. They just pass it and go, oh, well.
True. But what I'm saying is,
and, you know,
they still do it in stages. They still do it in, okay, you'll accept this. Now we're going to try this. No, you can't accept that yet. Okay, let's back off. Okay, fine. Now you can.
Well, what they'll do is they'll pass a law saying it's going to go this way, and it'll be a law you like. But in that package deal, there's 10 other laws that they're going to pass that they're not telling you about. So when they pass this law, you got 9 more of the BS laws that just turn your moral values around.
Correct. That is correct. Now we actually have attempts. We have had multiple attempts now legally to go ahead and pass regulations and laws that make it more and more challenging to have the morals that our society was based on. Now, I'm not saying Christian morals, and the reason I'm not saying that is because the basic morals we're talking about are the ones we as a society, pagan, Christian, you know, atheist, whatever, we still accepted as our baseline. Obviously, you know, children were taboo, completely taboo. You were, you know, the blatant open bodily functions of you know, urination and defecation in public were taboo. Idea of walking massive people walking down the street naked were taboo, you know. And yet these three things are now becoming acceptable. New York City, you now go ahead and urinate in public. You know, they actually have boxes. This one blew me away, people. This one blew me away. They have boxes that you can go stand in as a man. A little more challenging for women. But on the street, you can go stand in and you can actually masturbate in these boxes in public and then just walk away. I'm trying to wrap my head around this one so hard it's not even funny. First off, who would even do this? Secondly, why was it even condoned? And thirdly, when did we go so bent that this is actually considered to be a healthy society practice?
I'm glad I don't live there.
I won't go to New York. Won't go to New York. Won't go to San Francisco. Won't, California, New York, you two are banned. You two are banned from my place. Mm-mm. But I'm just, I think the reason I want to do my show tonight on what I did is because I think that this is not just a wake-up call. You know, we always hear, this is the wake-up call, and you need to be, no, we're past the alarm. We've hit the snooze one too many times. We're late. And the fact of the matter is, if we don't stop this now, if we do not rise up now, we're going to end up in a world of hurt. And the dang thing that we're going to be able to do about it once it's considered normal, appropriate behavior.
Well, I think what it is, they're wanting to pass all this stuff slowly where it floods the whatever, and that way they can just let the Sharia, they can, yeah, that way they can just go ahead and let the Sharia law pass and go right on there, and they'll let them take care of it, is what the motto of it's going to be, and then that's just going to flip it completely upside down.
And, well, here's the thing that a lot of people don't think about, okay? You hear a lot of Americans say, oh, there's no way Sharia law is going to pass. Mm-mm, nope. If we go
it's
so morally
here.
Corrupt, yes, but if we go so morally corrupt that our children are safe, our pets are not safe for the same reason, which is discussed much, become so blasé about our moral compass that we are condoning literally human trafficking for no big deal, then those who are promoting Sharia will look like saviors. They will come in looking like saviors. You can't.
And that's where you hit the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm.
And,
we become a cesspool.
You know.
Yeah, little side note, do you know that's one of the reasons why the Crusades were as popular as they were? They were fanatical. They were fanatical. At that time, they were so corrupt at that point, and the Crusades actually began to come forward about how they were going to go ahead and protect and save. That's when everybody embraced them open arms because it's so much better than what we have. And what the Crusades actually led to, not only, you know, I'm not talking about the Crusade, just the group that went over to the Middle East for the conflicts there. I'm talking about the knights and the culture that came here, back in England, of course. But they were so strict. They were so viciously strict that that's when the Puritan age began. And you could literally be if they found out that you were not a virgin and you were unmarried. So, yeah, but that's what we're looking at, folks. This is what we're looking at. So, anyway, that was the first part of the show. I did promise we'd end it on a lighter note because I know it's such a daunting and soul-crushing topic. But I just want you guys to really, really, those who download the show, please, get involved. Because if you're saying I don't have kids, it doesn't bother me, or I don't have this and it doesn't matter, you're part of the problem. So get involved. Okay, so what we're going to do, I'm going to go ahead and go to my next topic, which has been blowing up the internet. Oh, my gosh. I've talked about this a couple of times now. I'm going to go ahead and reiterate it because I really think people are just absolutely insane. The Health Care Act, where it stands today and what it means. Okay, first off, let's go ahead and put certain rumors to rest. Okay. Only 16 million signed up for Obamacare. Okay. Wasn't 25 million. Wasn't 30 million. Wasn't 60 million. It was 16 million actually went through the exchange and signed up. Out of those, over 47% were direct Medicaid. Straight shot to Medicaid. Okay? Out of those that were left, 20% ended up eventually going to Medicaid when they expanded it. So I want you to think about that. Over half were not individual insurance companies. They were Medicaid, single-payer system. All right? If they pass the GOP health care bill, 25 million people are not going to be losing insurance. All right, first off. The cuts that they're talking about doing to the Medicaid program just simply means that those that happen to be in that income threshold where they could technically afford insurance, but because they raised it to 130% instead of the 100% they were supposed to, those 30% are going to be kicked off Medicaid. Sorry, folks, you might actually have to go ahead and pay for your own insurance. I know it sucks. Let's be real. They're also looking at taking insurance out of a requirement for business to make individual and no longer having an employee mandate. Now, this I agree with. I know it's controversial for a lot of people. I know it really concerns a lot of people, but this I agree with. I'll tell you why. Men's insurance plan, we have four, I think, at this point, you know, going through.
Primary that goes through somebody else.
Right. He's had four different plans through his company. It is a stock plan. You can choose different things within it, true, but it's still pretty rigid. This is your stock. This is your contract. If they need something extra, like, for instance, somebody has cancer, you're going to be on your own. So the stock plan is such. At the same time, if he adds me to his insurance, it's going to double the cost when I can get it cheaper as an individual.
Almost triple.
Oh, triple? Sorry.
97 for me, 125 for the kids.
97 for him, 125 for the kids, and for me it'd be triple. Yeah, he just came in and corrected me. Sorry, guys. Anyway, to make a long story short, because it's mandated by law that his business is covered, they're going to go with the cheapest one they can find or the, you know, the least expensive. But it's not going to be tailored to you. Gutting the federal control of the insurance, which is the other plan and project for this, means that it goes right back to the individual once more to determine what they need. I am a veteran who is disabled. I don't need the same insurance coverage as my husband, because I get a lot of mine through the VA. I would only need catastrophic for anything that was not covered by the VA. Yet, by the rules and regulations we have in place now, I still have to pay return and cough, even though I'm a female. This is why they're changing it. This is why they're abolishing it, or they're trying to gut it. But the reason they're not gutting it completely, this is where people are getting confused. The reason they haven't just thrown the whole thing out, the baby with the bathwater, is what do you think would happen tomorrow if they abolished Obamacare right now, as of today, is gone? You would see so much chaos. And the reason being is because insurance companies that are structured for business, they would have to have time to adapt and adjust to cover individuals with the new parameters. It's not as easy as flipping on a light switch. So, what is going on right now with the current vote insurance. We are looking at four GOP senators who have backed out from voting for the current plan. We had, as of May, we had 217 Republicans who voted yes, 20 who voted no. Democrats all voted no. As of yesterday, four Republicans have changed their vote to no. And it's still in the House. It hasn't even gone to the Senate yet. So, you know, if we're going to be moved forward, then we need to go ahead and kind of put a fire underneath our constituents' butts and get them back into office, get them working. One of the reasons we're having a slow time of everything is Trump has 139 appointees. Now, realize, it's July. It's 6 months in, people. He's got 139 appointees, and only 48 have been approved. I want you to think about that. What he has done, when you go to whitehouse.gov, tell you guys to do this all the time, whitehouse.gov, look at the different bills that are passing. He just gutted ED. He's cutting federal from ED, from the Education Department. He's giving it back to the states. Even with only a third of his cabinet functioning and the rest waiting, and with all the massive resistance, he is still getting stuff done. Like him, hate him, I don't. The bottom line is what he said he was going to do and what he was voted into office because of what he said he was going to do, he is doing. If you don't like the things that are being done, for instance, if you think that the education department should be at the federal level, then you need to get involved. You need to get a hold of your constituent. You need to get a hold of your representative. You need to talk to them and say, hey, this is not cool. Where do I go ahead, sign up to do what I need to do? Now, as far as the bill, it's not dead by any means. We're just waiting to find out when the House is actually going to get together and do what it's supposed to do. Then it's got to go through Senate. So, people, we may not see an actual revision of the health care program this term. I want you to think about that. We may not see a health care reform this term, and it's not because he hasn't tried.
Well, isn't Obamacare supposed to drop out after so long anyway or not?
Obamacare was supposed to – actually, no, Obamacare was not supposed to drop out. What is happening is that the reason the premiums keep on going up and up and up is because insurers are dropping out of the program. It's unsustainable.
Okay.
The whole platform for Obamacare, what was supposed to happen is if they had enough Americans sign up for it and enough of them putting the bill on – it's a socialist platform. Enough of them putting the bill that everybody spreads the payment so everybody gets a low pay. But because only 16 million signed up, and out of the 16 million, you know, we're talking almost 11 of them were Medicaid, which means they don't pay into it.
Well, then, if you think about it, people voted on that bill and didn't want it. That's why they didn't sign up for it then, because they couldn't afford it.
Correct. Those who did sign up for it, though, because there were so few, ended up with huge skyrocketing costs because they had to cover theirs and the Medicaid people. So, on the one hand, with those on the left who say it's our fault that Obamacare failed because we refused to abide by it, to a certain extent, you are correct. America chose no. Was it the right thing to do? Yes. We need, and we are now seeing the behind the scenes, what we're seeing now is we're seeing a huge push to get our federal government back under control. But we need to gut the power our federal government has had. Going back to that story I was telling about 594, we had an individual by the name of Schuyler who was very outspoken on Facebook, military vet, proud member of the society. He had built his own AR-15, and he was selling it to a buddy who turned out to be a rat. This guy was a plant. The barrel was 1 inch too short. Because he was selling a home stock gun to a rifle, sorry, to an individual without going through an FFL, and because it was 1 inch short, 32 federal agents descended on his truck to arrest him. We want that to sink in for a second. They were so gung-ho to make an arrest with this, they had 32 federal agents descend on him. Over,
and they probably fought over the gun to see who was going to keep it.
Well, you know, he's still sitting in prison because they're still going through his Facebook to find charges. He hasn't
been
charged.
What?
They're still going through Facebook to find stuff to charge him with. Not been officially charged.
Wow.
Okay. So, where we stand on the health bill at this point? My personal projection is that we are not going to see the new health bill. We're probably not going to see a new health care bill until second term or towards the very end of this term, simply because they're throwing fits and they're dragging their fannies and they really aren't wanting to do what they need to do in order to go ahead and support our president. So,
I think they're all just playing a stupid game to see how far they can carry it.
Well, they did just put in a bill to go ahead and impeach Donald Trump. Let's see. It says president obstructed justice. Two Democrat congressmen put in for impeachment already.
Yeah, the thing about it is, don't you have to commit a crime to impeach a president?
Yep, they're trying to say that he obstructed justice. How? When?
Yeah.
He's never obstructed justice.
You know, Bill Clinton, you know, they tried impeaching him and couldn't get it done, and he actually committed some crimes.
Correct.
And Trump is just trying to do what he said he's going to do when they're wanting to impeach him, which he hasn't done anything illegal to my knowledge.
One of the last things I wanted to discuss before we wrapped up the show today is I'm seeing a flurry of individuals who are once more, oh, I voted for Trump, but he isn't doing what he's supposed to do for our guns. I heard that he was going to do this. Never again will I vote for him. Listen, bandwagoners. The man is doing what he can with what he's got, and obviously you're not paying attention. You're watching the media, again, without actually looking at what he has actually passed. First thing that he did is he ensured the DOJ was set in place that will go ahead and help with the constitutional rights. California just got slapped hard for their draconian magazine and semi-automatic firearm ban, and their no-knock confiscation bill. Found it was unconstitutional. Can't do it. Now, whether or not they listened to him, not sure. However, fact of the matter is, are doing many things. The Silencer Act. They're actually taking the silencer off of the restricted list. The Second Amendment Act. That is not Trump. That is Ryan. Ryan is the one that is stopping that. The Speaker of the House is the one that has decided he does not wish to go ahead and relay that bill, which would have made national reciprocity for us to be able to carry firearms constitutionally as a federal mandate, thereby stopping all this nonsense with the different states. He chose to defer it. Trump put it out, chose to defer it. You guys voted him in. You want change, you got to vote him out. He is doing what he can, but he is swimming upstream against the current with weights around his legs, and he's still managing to pull the damn ship. So, that being said, folks, Become more aware about your environment. Become more aware about your laws in your state. Become more aware about what's going on. Tomorrow, we have Ladies of the Watch. I will be starting it for Julie because she just got to Florida, and she doesn't have the equipment necessary, so you won't hear me, but I will be running it for her so she can go ahead and do her show. Wednesdays and Sundays is Contra Radio with John. And we look forward to you guys next week. If you have suggestions or things you want me to talk about, send them in to me. Okay? Thank you very much for listening, and thank you for participating.
Have a good night.
You too.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More. Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More.